This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Today, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. More health issues for the Lakers. I'll ask their sideline reporter, Mike Trudell, in a few minutes. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. I love opening day. You know, like a lot of times in this business, you have to pretend that you like something more than you do, because maybe the network you work on has the rights to that sport, or maybe it's just like that you're it's considered the thing you're supposed to like, and so you're trying to appeal to an audience, obviously, and if it becomes popular, you want to pander to the audience a lot of the time. I love baseball. I mean, I love baseball. It's my first love as a team sport, and I recognize that it's boring. I'm not trying to tell you that it's better than basketball or football. I know that it's not, objectively. But these things aren't objective. They're subjective. And, you know, baseball is so tied to so many people's, like, childhoods and family and, you know, lost loved ones and parents and kids. And, you know, it was such a big part of, like, growing up that I just, what can I tell you? I grew up with it. I love it. I wonder why soccer fans, as I often ask, can't admit the same thing. You know, like you grew up with soccer, you love it. Stop trying to convince everyone that it's awesome. All right. There's maybe in a world without basketball and football, baseball and soccer were awesome. There is basketball and football. It's just improvements on soccer. There's no reason to play soccer anymore, really, if you play basketball, if there's basketball and football now. Let's just be honest about this. But if you love it, great. I'm not telling you not to love it. Why is it so important that we pretend, though, that it is awesome, like basketball or football? I don't do the same thing with baseball. I recognize if some young kid goes, oh, baseball's boring. Yeah, okay, fine. You think so. I'm not going to try and convince you otherwise, but I love it. Love it. Ooh, and opening day is so great. Washington Nationals opener and the second game versus New York Mets postponed due to COVID issues out of an abundance of caution, says MLB. Friday's game's not going to be played. Nationals GM Mike Rizzo said Wednesday his club would be down 5 players and a staff member for opening day after a player tested positive for COVID-19. Sources tell ESPN's Jeff Passan that there are concerns at least one more positive COVID-19 test with the Nationals is there. So the next game scheduled between the Nats and the Mets is on Saturday. That's a brutal division, the NL East. Good teams everywhere you look, including the Mets and the Nats. Tell you what, Dodgers fans right now are loving it. I mean, you know, listen, Dodgers are so stacked. This is one of the most stacked teams I've ever seen on paper. And they're the defending champs. Defending champs signed Trevor Bauer. Got to send David Price to the bullpen. Oof. North Carolina Tar Heels basketball coach Roy Williams retired. I'll tell you what. If you basically succeed Dean Smith, it was less than a decade. I want to say off the top of my head, Raj, could you look at, I always say, Raj, look it up. And he never looks it up. Raj, could you look up how many years went by between Dean Smith's retirement and Roy Williams' hire as head coach? I want to say 6, something like that.
Yeah, I'll get right on it.
I get right on it means it ain't, it checks in the mail. Anyway, could you imagine basically succeeding a coach like Dean Smith? Because Dean Smith was not only incredibly successful, he won 2 national titles, which is no easy thing to do. Not a lot of guys have done that. But they were also in the Final Four, like, all the time. And he was also such a beloved figure. You know, like, Dean Smith, you find someone to say a bad thing about him. People love that man. You come in and do your thing, and you're an assistant on his staff, and you come in and do your thing and win 3 chips. You win 3 national championships, and you also go to a bunch of Final Fours and create a legacy comparable to his. That's amazing. Congratulations, Roy Williams, who retires today on a Hall of Fame career. What else can you say? Well, now that I've touched on opening day baseball and Roy Williams' retirement, I can start talking about the thing that everyone wants to talk about. And that's basketball right now. I mean, quarterbacks in the draft for sure. And the NBA. This NBA Western Conference, it's impossible. It's impossible. The Lakers are defending champs, and I thought in the offseason got better. Now, they're racked with injury. But let's say they're at full strength. Lakers fans, think about these playoffs you have to navigate, even if you're the 1 seed. Where's the gimme? Where's the gimme? In the West, I guess the one seed will have one gimme. The eighth ranked team won't be great. But everyone else, Portland, like let me tell you who I think is bringing up the rear in the Western Conference in terms of teams that are nonetheless live, right? I think Portland and Dallas. Portland and Dallas make a playoff run in a heartbeat. But they're like dangerous teams. They're real teams. But then you look at the rest of the Western Conference that the Lakers are going to have to deal with these playoffs. Oh, my God. I'm not even talking about in the future when the Pelicans get good or anything like that. I'm not right now. Utah has been the best team in basketball all year. I mean, you know, the Nets will be when KD gets back. But Utah has been basically wire to wire. Denver beat them in the playoffs last year. They beat Utah in the playoffs. And while Denver hasn't done as well in the regular season, Donovan Mitchell's a better regular season player than Jamal Murray. Playoffs, they're even. Jamal Murray elevates to MVP level in the playoffs. But Denver beat not only Utah in the first series, they beat the Clippers. Now, the Lakers did beat Utah. Sorry, Denver. But Denver got better since then. Denver added Aaron Gordon. Good kid, but not only that, like likable guy, but you know, you hear good things about him as a person and as a teammate and stuff. But he's also super athletic. For a guy as athletic as he is, shoots pretty well. Not great, but like that's actually trending in the right direction. And only has to be, what, the fourth best player on the team? Aaron Gordon only has to be the fourth best player on your team? In your starting five, even? And this is the team that beat Utah and beat the Clippers last year. Added Aaron Gordon. Utah didn't do anything. Now, Utah does have Bogdanovich. They didn't have him last year. But I think Aaron Gordon's presence on Denver at least cancels that out. Well, that's rough. Rough sledding in the West. And then the Clippers. They get Rondo to go with Batum. And I think the starting lineup by the time all is set, or at least the closing lineup, I would think it would be for the Clippers, Rondo, Kawhi and Paul George, Batum and Ibaka. Like, I think that's probably your best starting five when all is said and done, or best five. But Zubac and Kennard, who's shooting almost 50% from three, and Reggie Jackson, and I'm forgetting a couple of guys. They go, this team legit goes 11 deep. The Clippers go 11 deep. I don't even. So Utah should be better with Bogdanovich. The Clippers might be the team this year by the time the playoffs roll around that I was expecting to see last year. Denver got better. What about Phoenix? 8-0 in the bubble. Added Jay Crowder in the offseason. And Chris Paul. So now the backcourt of a team that went 8-0 in the bubble is Chris Paul and Devin Booker. You could argue it's the best backcourt in the league. Who's, you could say someone's as good but better. And then you have like the perfect 3-and-D players in Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Like they can actually defend and they can actually hit threes. And then you have DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton is like, of course, Chris Paul's helping his development. This is a, with Dario Saric, this is a really good team. The West is brutal. And now you finally get Andre Drummond right on the buyout market after the trade deadline. Loses his toenail. Going to get into that right now with Mike Trudell, Lakers sideline reporter. My old friend from 710 ESPN joins me here on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike.
Max, it's a pleasure. I always miss you out here on the West Coast, man. How are you doing?
Well, I miss the West Coast, too. I wish I could tell all the people there. And I do miss you guys, you know, Mason and Ireland and you and Marcellus and everybody. But I wish I could tell you, like, the people are actually the things that I miss about the West Coast. But it's the weather. Like, let's just be honest. It's the weather, Mike. Oh, it makes you feel good out there. It's always nice.
Yeah. You know, look, I grew up in Minnesota, so I get the shift. I get the shift. The ocean's not bad. It is 81 degrees right now, Max.
Yeah, it's great. Middle of this winter. The best part about L.A. is in the middle of winter, when you know everyone's suffering on the East Coast, it's 75 degrees and you're laughing at life. Feels like you quit the rat race, you know? And now I'm back in the rat race. They sent me right back to the rat race. Mike,
yeah. There it is.
Another Laker injury. Like, this is getting ridiculous. The whole problem when you're top heavy, like with LeBron and AD, which of course you want. I mean, if you have a chance to get LeBron and AD, you do it. But the real worry is injury. That's the risk. They're both out for a while. I love the Andre Drummond pickup because not like he can play basketball at a certain level, and it's a pretty high level. He's an above-average starter at his position. Not so easy to find. And I figure in the absence of LeBron and AD, this guy's going to average 20 points and 15 boards a night. You know, they may not be 500, but they'll keep their heads above water at least while waiting for the other guys to get back. And game one, his toenail is off. I mean, like, tell me everything you know.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit of Murphy's Law this season for the Lakers. But honestly, Max, this was part, I think, of the expectation with the shortest offseason in NBA history following the longest regular season in NBA history. And actually, Markieff Morris kind of put it in pretty good perspective. He said, the way he views it, it's not season-ending injuries for LeBron or AD. They will be back. These guys are essentially getting a rest period for the rest of their bodies that they did not get in the offseason since they won the title on October 11th. So in the short term, they just have to kind of tread water, which is why beating, you know, the Clevelands and the Orlandos that they did last week is important. And I think you're right, Max, about the impact that Drummond could have. You know, we'll see. We don't know really about the toe other than that he said he believes he's kind of day-to-day. You know, it's something where he's going to have to play through pain. I have never ripped off a full toenail. I've certainly had half ones in soccer.
It sucks. It's disturbing, too. Like, I can't even think. If that happens, I've damaged the toenail to the point where it fell off. Like, it gets all, you know, disgusting looking and everything. But even the thought of it, I'm like, oh, I got to put a Band-Aid on it so I don't have to look at it or think about it. I can't imagine playing basketball with your foot jacked up like that.
In somebody like Brooke Lopez stepping on it, right?
Yeah, right.
How it got hurt. Yeah.
All right, listen, Mike, I want to talk about what the Lakers are up against, because not only are those guys getting a rest, but you're finding out extra dimensions maybe of players you have on your own roster. THT gets to develop and all that kind of stuff, and obviously he's valued around the league. That's why the Lakers didn't change the roster at the deadline, really, because they weren't giving up THT in packages. But I look at the Clippers, and I was trying to just remember the whole roster before, because I was like, I think their best five is Rondo with PG 13 and Kawhi, and then I'd say Batum and Ibaka. But that doesn't count, you know, like Zubac to me is like, you know, a perfectly good big. And I mentioned Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard. I'm like, who am I missing? Oh, I don't know. Patrick Beverley? Marcus Morris? How about Terrence Mann? He can really play. Like, this team is so deep, Mike. And now with Rondo, who was a huge part of the Lakers' postseason success last year, let me take your temperature as a Lakers guy. How nervous are you?
No, I mean, so I would say that it comes down to the concept of slotting, right? And so all of this, if you have Kawhi and Paul George healthy and on the court, right, every roster position that you get down longer, which you just did, does speak to depth. But the Lakers have that same level of depth if LeBron and AD are in the lineup, which presumably by the time you get to the postseason, they are.
Wait,
talent-wise.
Who? Let's go guy for guy. You think the Lakers have the same depth as the Clippers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, if Drummond is your third best player, right, I think you probably have an advantage over the Clippers' third best player. Then you get to the point where the Lakers have a lot of different guys who could be in that kind of fourth range. Is it Montrezl Harrell on a given night? Is it Schroeder? Is it Alex Caruso? Not in terms of stats, but in terms of value around stars. Kyle Kuzma, Markieff Morris, who started playoff games, like, and can kind of go head-to-head against his brother. So I think the depth of the Lakers roster is a little bit undersold, Max, compared to what folks might expect.
Well, I disagree. I really disagree that you would rather have the Lakers' third-best player over the Clippers. First of all, I don't even have to go to their third-best player, the Clippers, who I think is Rondo, once the playoffs start. And I think unless Schroeder really shows something in these playoffs, tough to beat playoff Rondo. But Ibaka's really the kind of player you want. He can still defend. He can protect the rim. And he can shoot from the outside. Like, that's more of the kind of player you're looking for in the modern game than, let's say, Montrezl Harrell, which is why the Clippers were thought to have upgraded there, or even Drummond.
Yeah, it's a good debate. It's a good debate. I would just say, so for the Clippers in terms of depth, if you want to talk about Ibaka, they've actually been better defensively since Zubac has been starting.
Yeah, that's why
Ibaka,
he started.
You can beat off the dribble. Yeah, you can beat him off the dribble. LeBron and AD did so in their first matchup. And sure, if he's spacing out to three, but he's a little bit like Marc Gasol as a three-point shooter where he can shoot the three, but he's not going to be a high-volume guy, so you're not really respecting it in the same way. So, like, I think they both have good role players around it. We've just seen, Max, the Lakers do it. We've seen the chemistry work for them at that high level, and the Clippers have to prove that. Just like Utah, just like Phoenix, and I would say the benefit that they've had is health and continuity. That's why those teams are 1-2 in the West mm-hmm. right now.
Oh, sure. If the Lakers were healthy all year, they would be 1 or 2, right? As good a year as Utah's had, they'd be right there.
Right. That's the point. But I do think the Clippers still, despite having to prove, especially when they get to the postseason, Max, they can get out of that second round morass that they've been in. They still have the top talent, I think, that can go up against the Lakers head for head. What I think the Lakers have the advantage in is just they have more athleticism, they have more size, they have more power. And that's something I think that is going to be difficult for not just the Clippers, but a team that I think is interesting, the Nets. Like, the Nets had a little bit of problems with the Timberwolves last week, Max, because of their athleticism. Yep. And that's where I think the Lakers, again, they can mash you in that sense.
Well, I forgot who it was already who made the point about the matchup nightmare, that is LeBron James and AD. Because I was talking about, at the time, a defender like Royce O'Neal, right? And, like, you need Royce O'Neal to be 3 inches taller than he is, and you need 2 of him if you want to defend LeBron and AD. It's like it's an impossible situation, although I would say at this point I would handicap the Nets as favorites if they're healthy, because I think, Mike, by the time all 3 guys are healthy, that's going to be, and this is my take on it, the greatest offense by far in the history of American team sports will be this Nets offense if they're all healthy. Because never before have 3 guys who can all get their shots at historically elite levels been able to hit shots from anywhere on the floor, 3-point, free throw line, in the paint, mid-range, at historically elite levels. 3 of those guys, and who can also hook up their teammates, and none of them are the best shooter on the team because Joe Harris is that. I think it's going to be a load. But, like, they have health issues too. Getting back to the West before we get out of here, what do you think of Denver, Mike?
I like Denver a lot. I thought the Aaron Gordon move was nice. I think that gives them an additional kind of three and D wing depth, Max. And look, would you posit yourself a basketball historian?
I don't know. I'm a fan.
Okay. So if you're not going there, but the best teams in basketball history have their stars who can play both ends of the court. And that's still where the Lakers, I think, have the edge with LeBron and AD. They are going to dominate both sides, right, on offense, on defense. That's where I think I get what you're saying about the Nets and having that depth of the offense. But ultimately, they're still going to have to get to the rim and finish. And if you've got LeBron and AD on one end who can protect the rim and then get to your rim, can they hit? Are they going to be able to hit jump shots? Are they going to be fitting into the Golden State model, right, from a couple of years ago? So I agree with you. I think the Nets are the pick in the East for the finals. I think Denver is an issue, but I don't think that healthy, they're a team that can beat the Lakers.
If you want to know, Mike, for like people who are listening, if people want to know a way of thinking about it, how great LeBron and AD are, Jamal Murray was playing at MVP level. He had a historically great playoff run, and Jokic is an MVP level player. So they had 2 of those guys. They beat Utah. They beat the Clippers. They were no match for the Lakers. They couldn't extend them. They couldn't take them to a 6th game because the Lakers' 2 best guys are that much better than their 2 best guys who are practically MVP-level players. It's amazing how great LeBron and AD are. Yeah. Before I let you go, what are you hearing? What's the vibe around the team in terms of the prognosis of LeBron and AD's eventual health?
Well, so I'll go back to where I started earlier in the interview, Max. Marquise Morris said this the other day. He's like, look, guys, these are not season-ending injuries. We are going to get them back. They don't know exactly when, but they're trying to look at it. And sure, this is a little bit of an optimist perspective from Marquise, but they're looking at this as a good chance for these guys to get rest on their bodies and then come back in time to ramp up for the postseason. So in terms of when they return, not sure, but they just want to kind of tread water until they get them back. So it should be interesting, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Especially about AD. I'm nervous about AD and also KD. Like, where have they been all year? Lakers sideline reporter Mike Trudell joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. Always love talking to you, Mike. Thanks for hopping on. Discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. L.A. Kershaw is your opening day starter. But where does he really fit in the rotation? Axe Max is next. Grab your peanuts and popcorn. Baseball's back. Last year's season sure was different, but that doesn't mean it lacked excitement. This year's poised to be even better. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a free shot at a share of millions of dollars in total prizes. It's easy to play. Just pick 10 players, standard the salary cap, pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. There's no better way to put your baseball knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars throughout the week. By the way, and just in terms of your enjoyment of everything, you got skin in the game, it's more enjoyable. With millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX to get a free shot at share of millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code MAX to get a free share at millions of dollars. Not millions of dollars of dollars, Raj. That would be ridiculous. Just millions of dollars, of course. Millions of dollars with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
From the biggest names in sports.
So one of the hardest workouts we do.
To the stories that matter.
Gotta do something at the quarterback spot. I mean, you gonna line up with Josh McCown?
And plenty of opinions.
These quarterbacks that's coming out in the draft, who's better than Jalen Hurts? In all honesty.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Opening day is here. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Got a question. Ax Max coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Ax Max is brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
Ax Max.
Right. MLB opening day. Dodgers head to Colorado to face the Rockies. Kershaw versus Germán Márquez. The defending champion Dodgers are loaded again, of course. Where does Kershaw rank on the staff? I understand giving him the ball for opening day. I get it. By the way, because he's still great. Like, I get Kershaw's numbers up here. Kershaw is still a great pitcher. He's not what he was in his absolute prime. But there's an argument to be made that Kershaw is on track to become the greatest regular season pitcher of all time. He hasn't been a great postseason pitcher, but he has won a World Series now and seems to have gotten over the yips. I mean, Kershaw in his last full season went 16-5 with a 3.03 ERA, struck out better than a guy in inning, 189 strikeouts to 178 innings, had a whip just over one, and last year had a whip under one. Now, it's not like those 4 years he led the league consecutively in ERA, including in wins two of those years, and in strikeouts two of those years, and an ERA plus three of those years, and in whip all 4 years. Like, that was ridiculous. He won three Cy Youngs and came in second once. But he's still a top 10 Cy Young guy. Now, they signed Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer's a very good pitcher, and in his best years has been a great pitcher, but doesn't always have his, you know, he's not, the reason he hasn't been Clayton Kershaw is not every year is his best year. Clayton Kershaw has, like, everyone else's best year every year. Bauer is actually a middle-of-the-rotation guy on this staff especially because of Walker Buehler, who's probably the best pitcher on the staff. But I get giving the ball to Kershaw and then going Buehler and then Bauer, Urias, you know. And who's five now? Who's the fifth starter? They just got made the first fifth starter, Raj. Yeah, Dustin May. Yeah. And with David Price in the bullpen. You can argue that the wisest, the most prudent kind of analysis is that actually Kershaw is still your best pitcher. You could argue it. My feeling is probably Buehler's better right now. Eduardo Perez, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, discussing Dodgers pitching.
I'm just looking at what the Dodgers did. They go out, they get Bauer. They did not have to mortgage the future with a 10-year deal or anything like that. They paid him handsomely for a short period of time, and they're hoping to get the best out of him. But what the Dodgers have done and have Gonsolin and have Price just waiting there, they'll keep him fresh. Let's not forget, a couple years ago, the Dodgers only had one guy get to 30 starts. They're going to use this roster to perfection.
By the way, Dodgers pitching is so good. Ryu is really good, and he's the ace of the Blue Jays staff. The Blue Jays hope to contend, and he's legitimately an ace on some staffs. Dodgers looked at him and said, we could do better. Stuff isn't quite good enough for us. And they were right. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. How much time do I have here? Rick in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max.
Yes.
I got a suggestion for you, Max.
Okay, let's hear it.
I was watching TV the other day with my beautiful wife on the couch.
Me too.
And we were watching her favorite show, Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And I turned to my wife and I say, "Hey, babe, you know, I believe Max Kellerman would make the perfect permanent host for Jeopardy."
Yes, I say. I would love to host Jeopardy. Do you know what that pays?
What's that?
Do you know what that pays? That I would pays, love to host Jeopardy.
It'll give you $20 million a year, Max, for two days work a week.
Rick, you're a genius.
You can't beat that, Max.
You're a genius. Oh, my God. If I could host Jeopardy, I could change my number. Raj wouldn't even be able to get in touch with me. No more. Raj texts me always 2 minutes before First Take starts. What do you like today? Oh, no more of that nonsense. Could host Jeopardy. Probably tape a bunch of shows all at once. Float around in the pool the rest of the year. Oh, I'd love to host Jeopardy. Why not? Given my looks and my brain? Do you realize literally Raj could put anything in the prompter and I would say it? He had me call Dominic Foxworthy earlier in the show, and I didn't even know I did it. After the segment, I said, "Why'd you call Dominic Foxworthy?" Thanks, Raj. I'm like Will Ferrell from Anchorman. Nate in Pennsylvania. This is the guy who called the other day. I like the cut of his jib. Nate, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, Max. First off, I just want to thank you for actually taking the time to sit here and have a conversation with Nate about something that you so strongly oppose. It just shows a lot that you're willing to take the time and actually have a conversation, which is what
actually,
more so
Nate,
my point
before
was
you
about.
Even, but I'm going to let you talk. In fact, you deserve the credit for that because you felt I was being antagonistic, and rather than take the bait, you showed yourself to be a good faith actor, and it's easy to talk to good faith actors like who just disagree with you. Then the temperatures can cool, and that's what we need more of in this country. So go ahead, shoot. What do you want to say?
Well, as far as Kim Mulkey's concerned, I don't want to sit here and say I completely agree with everything she had to say. There was more than just a little sound bit that you played. She actually went on to listen to the interview. She went on to talk about, you know, the differences between the testing that the men and the women do, and how the doctors there even said that the chances of contracting coronavirus are very slim. But it was more when she made the statement about not doing the coronavirus testing, instead of anybody on ESPN or any of the sports networks I listen to actually going back and forth and debating whether or not, you know, she made some valid points or not. It was just so easily dismissed. And I feel like that's a greater problem of what we have is where, you know, it seems like they all kind of take, when it comes to these social issues, they all kind of take one side and everybody
that's
just jumps
the
on
problem.
It.
And I think you, I actually think you identified a part of the problem too, not just hyper-partisanship. Over, like, everything becomes a partisan issue, even basic health things. But I also think that clickbait culture, right, because how many clicks can you get, leads to very superficial analysis. And what we peddle on social media especially is shots, injections of righteous indignation. Ooh, you wind up in a little echo chamber of you follow people who agree with you, and then you see news. Ooh, that gives me a little shot. Ooh, that bad person. I hate that person. Oh, why did they do that? And you get a little shot of righteous indignation. You can feel bad for a say, you know, and you're right. Given the hyper-partisan climate, that kind of clickbait culture is counterproductive to a reasonable culture. I totally agree with that. That said, I understand what you're saying about Kim Mulkey, the coach who said, let's not do COVID testing. I just want to say, Nate, what had me react so strongly to it was this idea that if we don't know, it's as though it doesn't exist. We are coming out of a period, and this is where you felt I was being antagonistic on Tuesday, but I mean it. I can't sugarcoat it. We're coming out of a period where leadership in this country was just openly talking about magical thinking and ignoring science. And I felt that that set a dangerous climate. And every credible study that I've seen concludes that hundreds of thousands of Americans died because of the handling of the pandemic in the previous administration. Now, I want you to let Nate through next time, too, because I don't think this conversation's over. And Nate may have things to say about social issues and issues that do kind of, even if you don't directly make a reference to politics do kind of wind up as partisan issues. And I like the fact that he's not – he doesn't have an axe to grind. He doesn't have a secret agenda. He simply wants to talk, even if he has a different opinion, and I like that. You hear about the close call the Jazz had on their flight? Last Take is coming up. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Opening day is here. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Got a question? Ask Max. Coming up, say 888, say ESPN. Raj, I swear to you, Ax Max, we just did, didn't we? We just did Ax Max. This is Last Take, isn't it? Aren't we about to do Last Take, Raj? Tell me the truth.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We do so many fine segments on this show, and I think you can hear some of them on the podcast that you're about to promote.
You know, I see what you're doing now. Raj has all kinds of stuff intentionally written incorrectly in the prompter right now to get you. I ain't falling for the old banana in the tailpipe, Raj. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not even going to look at my Zoom screen anymore because it's April Fool's. All right. John from New Mexico, you're on the Max.
Wait, what?
Yes?
You got to read that about
no, I'm afraid to read it.
No, come on. Give it a try. Just try it.
I'm not going to lose my job if I read what's on the screen, right?
Maybe you should proofread things.
Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? See, he writes Dom Foxy, first of the month song on my screen. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Now I'm going to John from New Mexico. What's up, John?
Hey, Max. Who are your top five quarterbacks in order?
What do I think the order of quarterbacks? I think the top two are right, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. I think three is Justin Fields. And then four depends on, do you like long-term upside better? I haven't seen as much of Trey Lance as I have of Zach Wilson recently, for example. I've been watching a lot of Zach Wilson. Or do you like a guy who may be ready right now more? Mac Jones seems like you could plug and play a little bit more, maybe. And Trey Lance looks like maybe he has more upside because he also makes quick reads, gets rid of the ball fast, but apparently is considered less ready to go. But I think Justin Fields would be three. And I was surprised when I put Zach Wilson ahead of him. But it's simply that I watched more Justin Fields in college than Zach Wilson. If you watch a lot of Zach Wilson, he's like, I wish the Giants were drafting second. They could take Zach Wilson right now. I think a lot of them. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I guess I have to call him back to Deep Crow. My USC Trojans, I don't know how the coach that have them ready. You have two power foes. They're going to be NBA material.
Mm. What else?
To lose that bad, not even keep it close game.
Right.
I hope he's got some guys coming in next year.
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't Drake London, he would have been, I compare him to Tony Gonzalez. I wish he had played in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I think the game would have been closer.
Right. Well, that could all be. What else, Mitch? What else you got for me today? Usually there's a good non sequitur.
Okay. I know UCLA's got two top players coming in the next 2 years for their basketball program. Amari Baylor. Mm-hmm. And then this coming year is, somebody's name is Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky is still one and done. Lucky if they go straight to
the
high
NBA, Mitch?
Basically the Clippers.
Right.
And they dealt with a lot of injuries. And we take it Rondo, and I like that DeMarcus Cousins.
How about baseball?
Oh, it's basically the Dodgers and Washington. I see a lot of games down in D.C. It's the only time I can see my family.
Well, you like the Dodgers and the Nationals?
I go to national games to see the Dodgers.
Oh, because you live in D.C. now.
No, I still live in New Jersey. I'm from Staten Island. I'm guessing you're from Manhattan or the Bronx.
Right.
I've been curious.
I'm from Manhattan.
No, you didn't.
I was born in the Bronx. I grew up downtown Manhattan.
Oh, you're downtown.
Yeah.
You get along with uptown girls, right? I'm sure there's no
All right, problem. Mitch.
Is it a small
I think that this I think that this phone call has run its course. But it's always good to hear from you, Mitch. I want to just say before I get out of here, what the Utah Jazz went through yesterday if you listen to Mike Conley, who was on the plane that they thought was going to crash, listen.
We don't have time for it now.
Well, I said that, and now we don't have time for it.
Mitch took too much time talking about the Uptown Girls.
These guys thought they were going to.
We spent time learning about the Uptown Girls. You know, Mitch made a revelation.
I got a kick out of Mitch.
Max from downtown.
I got a kick out of Mitch. Cool. But I can tell you that what the Jazz went through last night, like they were looking yesterday, they thought they were looking at each other like this might be it. The plane lands. Donovan Mitchell doesn't go with them to the game. He's like, nah, I'm good. And they win. Ja Morant goes for 36 against them, and they still win. That team has a lot of character. They showed me something. The West is a beast. The Lakers have their work cut out for them. I'm going to go watch the Yankees get their first W of the season. Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.